Part 7. This should be the final day, but we'll see, because last week you criticized me. And I really enjoy that. I kind of masochistic that way, but you challenged me on a statement that I made. So I spent a little time researching it this week, which may delay the completion until next week, but we'll see. We're talking about the millennium. We're talking about a kingdom on this earth that Jesus Christ will rule and reign over. You remember? And what changes are going to be brought about? I got to thinking about this passage. The more I think about it, the more exciting it is. Because what we talked about last week that kind of got you moving, thinking, was this concept of when animals started eating meat. You remember? How many of you were here for that one? Yeah. And you criticized me for my comments, so I'm going to take another run at it. But as I thought about it, what a marvelous thing is going to happen. If you're an evolutionist, you can't believe this passage. Because who could imagine that in the concept of evolution, that the animal kingdom is going to revert back to the way it was at the beginning? Isn't that interesting? How would you like to have a pet tiger in your house? Or wouldn't that be cool? No? Into my house, or a lion, or maybe you can have a baby elephant or a big elephant or something that wouldn't eat you. That's the key. You remember this passage. Isaiah 11 says this, and the wolf will dwell with the lamb. We know that's abnormal, don't we? Because wolves and lambs do what? Supper. The lamb is supper. And the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and fatling together. Three illustrations of three ferocious animals coexisting at the same time with very peaceful animals. Isn't that amazing? And a little boy will lead them. What does that mean? You have a child 3 or 4 years old or 5 years old leading around a tiger or a lion or something like that and say, look at my pet. And the animal doesn't hurt him. How is that possible? How's that possible within the concept of evolution? The answer is it's not. The answer is somebody has to do something dramatic in the kingdom to change the entire character of the world. Isn't that interesting? Look at this. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. Amazing, huh? Lions eat what? Meat. All right? And the nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. And then in Isaiah 65, it says this, the wolf and the lamb will graze together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. Does that sound familiar? And dust will be the serpent's food. The poor serpent ain't going to recover. He led Adam and Eve to sin, and on his belly he goes, and he's going to what? Stay there. He's going to eat dust. And they will do, look at this, no evil or harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. How is that possible? Because that's the way they were designed in the first place. And we can't understand it and we can't explain it, but I'm going to take you through it. Genesis 1:29 says, then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit bearing yielding seed, and it shall be for food for you. So believe it or not, Adam and Eve were what? Vegetarians. They did not eat meat. All right? At least we don't think they did. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was what? All right, so what does that mean? Animals were vegetarians. It's interesting. There is a ferocious dinosaur. Have you ever heard of him? T-Rex, for you young people. T-Rex. Dr. Carl Ball at the Glen Rose Museum in Fort Worth says that the teeth that they have found for T-Rex have chlorophyll on them. What would that tell you? He ain't a meat eater. He was a vegetation eater. And many people don't understand, how could these dinosaurs get so big, and why aren't they big today? And there are some dinosaurs on this earth. They've not been obliterated. And people say, when did the dinosaurs... In fact, they use dinosaurs to criticize Christians because they say, how stupid you are, because they lived tens of thousands of years or millions of years before man. Well, I got news for you. They lived at the same time as man. And they were peaceful. And they were vegetarians. And they were big. A little kid pulling along a brontosaurus. You know why I know that? Because in Job, I think it's 38 or 39, he says there are two. One is called Behemoth. And it says he is so big that he can stand in a flooded Jordan River and not be moved. That's a big animal. And there's another one called Leviathan, who lives in the sea. In fact, many believe that the monster Loch Ness monster is sort of like a Leviathan. I love the words of God. He says, tangle with him one time and you'll never do it again. No harpoon can kill him. Can't even get between his scales and so forth. So there were dinosaurs in Job's day, and Job lived about 2200 B.C. He was a contemporary with Abraham based on what his book of the Bible talks about. But notice that this thing, these are going to be peace-loving animals, which is the way they were in the garden. So think about it. It's amazing. God is going to bring back, through the Lord Jesus Christ, conditions upon this planet that existed in Eden in the future. And the animal population is going to be peaceful. And people say, well, how do you control the growth? And the answer is, I don't know. They just won't eat each other. Right now, we always hear about survival of the fittest. You remember? Right? So here's what we know. See if you agree with this. At the beginning, they were vegetarians. In the future, they will be vegetarians. All right? You got those 2 points. So the question is, what happened in between? All right, the fall. Kyle and Delich. Now, this might be a little hard to read, but this is an interpretation of what we just looked about in Genesis. From this, it follows that according to the creative will of God, men were not to slaughter animals for food, nor were animals to prey upon one another. Consequently, that the fact which now prevails universally in nature and in the order of the world, the violent and often painful destruction of life, is not a primary law of nature. So what are they saying? What we see today is not the way God wants it. Are you with me? It's what he's saying. And then he's saying, nor a divine institution founded in the creation itself. In other words, God didn't create it that way, but entered into the world along with the death of the fall of man. Tom, all right? So that's 1 point for you. And became a necessity of nature through the curse of sin. It was not till after the flood that men received authority from God to employ the flesh of animals as well as the green herb as food. And the fact that according to the biblical view, no carnivorous animals existed at the first may be inferred from the prophetic announcements, where the cessation of sin and the complete transformation of the world into the kingdom of God are described as being accompanied by the cessation of slaughter and the setting of eating of flesh, even in the case of the animal kingdom. So what are they saying? There's evidence that if the future kingdom is like the past kingdom, that something has changed. Now, the kingdom is not free from sin. Yes, Doug. Okay. Right. We think. I don't know that it actually says what it was. It just says God was, and I'm not saying they didn't, because God obviously killed animals in order to provide a sacrifice, and that's not what I'm talking about. Not under the provision, number one, and I'm going to cover that in a second. In other words, the issue is did man eat meat before the flood? And the answer is, he may have, but not under God's instruction. Okay? Yes, Cheryl. That's interesting. And Cheryl says it may be because of the flood and the destruction of the vegetation, because it's believed that the earth prior to the flood was a completely different place. Now, Tom and I talked about the vapor canopy versus no vapor canopy, but the reality is this. Prior to the flood, there was no rain, which means there were no storms. The scripture says that the rain came from where? No. Prior to the flood, the rain came up out of the ground like a mist to water the earth. And the earth was extremely lush. And these dinosaurs had to have massive amounts. If they're vegetation, wouldn't they need massive amounts of vegetation? Now, the earth changed after the flood. It was a desolate place. I suspect, and after the Tower of Babel for sure, that at one time it may have been that the land mass in the world was one piece of land. I don't know if you're familiar with that concept that when Babylon was and God scattered all the inhabitants, that the continents broke apart on plates, continental plates. And there's a theory that they're moving, and they're moving very slowly today, but the thought is that when he did it, they moved very rapidly, which would explain how you get certain people in America and et cetera, et cetera. Yes. All right. So the question is, did they eat meat as sinners prior to the flood? And then after the flood, they ate it. And the reason it wasn't a sin after the flood is God told them they could. It was okay. We don't know, by the way, if man ate meat prior to the flood. There is a reality. Look, and we're going to look at that in the next few slides. Mankind lived to be hundreds of years old. It's not a fantasy. It's not because the earth is different in its rotation. The reality is mankind lived to be 900-something years old. People like Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not. He was only 365 years old. God took him. But prior to the flood, mankind lived. And if you look at the longevity of mankind, if you just track the lives and the lifespan, you'll find that the lifespan started dropping fairly regularly. For instance, Noah was, I believe, 600 years old, something like that. Yeah, that didn't make it to 950. But his son, Shem, was 600. And it started coming down. So you got to Abraham was like 100 and something, 25, and it kept 175, and it kept coming down to where at basically in the Old Testament, toward the after the King David and so forth, the lifespan was about 70. In fact, it started coming down to, you know, if you live past 35 in about 1000 AD, you were living a long time. The average age span wasn't that long. And today it's, you know, it's 70, but it's going up. Now, I will acknowledge, I made the statement that animals did not eat meat until after the flood. I have found that people like this person believes that it had happened, did not happen until, or it happened after the curse, the sin nature. The animals started eating meat, and each other, by the way. However, in Genesis 2, the scripture says that Adam named the animals, and here's how it worked. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. So Adam's sitting there. I don't know what he's sitting on, but, you know, Adam gets a bum deal because of this all this crud about prehistoric man being stupid and all that. Adam's probably the smartest man that ever lived other than Jesus Christ or maybe Solomon. And so God would actually create an animal and bring him up to Adam, and he'd say, what do you want to call him, Adam? He says, look like a bear to me. And he said, bear it is. Looks like a jackass. That's what it is, right? Now watch this. And that was his name. The man gave names to all the cattle, the birds of the sky, and to every beast of the field. So not only did he bring the cattle and the domesticated animals to Adam, he brought what? The birds came to Adam, and he gave them a name. And then they came, and they brought the beast, which are your lions and tigers and elephants and all those things. And he just named them. But yet there wasn't a suitable helper for him. If they had been, at this point, meat eaters, they would have probably done what? Ate him. But they didn't. God brought them, he named them. You with me? Now, Noah had no problems either, did he? The scripture says, on the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, his sons, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons, with them, entered the ark, and they ate and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, all sort of birds. So they went into the ark to Noah by twos of all the flesh, in which was the breath of life. Those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded them, and the Lord closed it behind them. So when the animals came to Noah before the flood, that's an important point, they were what? Domesticated and passive. Now, that does not prove a point. Because some believe that those animals were babies. But it could prove a point. Because they just came and Noah had to be with them in the ark for those several months. Jimmy? Dinosaurs were in the ark. You bet. The sediment, yeah, it would have created pretty blush. But it also, the entire weather patterns of the world changed. They didn't have storms that we know about because they didn't have the hydrologic cycle. Doesn't that sound important? In other words, uh-oh. Yeah, Roger. Well, yeah, a lot of them were small. Right, exactly. Good point. You only had the brontosauruses and the T-Rexes and that kind of stuff that were big. The problem is they existed with man. Wait a second. Doug? Right. 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 That's a great point, Doug. For example, you just took two dogs. You didn't take 50 different variations of the two dogs. You just took two, and from them all the species came. Because of the way that, DNA and the all of that works. All right, and that, Randy? Oh. That's the Spielberg's Island, right? Or Well, there are actually, as I've been told, there are actually dinosaurs in the world today. But they're smaller. They're not these huge things. Anyway. All right. Yes, Prola. Sixth chapter. Oh, excellent point, Prola. It's my favorite, by the way. Right. So Noah took vegetarian food for all the animals. I win. Because that... All kinds of food, but there was no meat. They didn't have a freezer. Huh? So they're going to eat one of the two? What kind of deal would that be, Tracy? Y'all just won't let it go, will you, Doug? Just brought rabbits, okay. This is the first, yes, Jim. Oh, Sophia. Absolutely. Great point. The dragons through the Middle Ages are actually dinosaurs. In fact, when you read about the dinosaurs in Job, Leviathan, I think, actually has fire coming out of its mouth. That's why the legends about that are that dinosaurs were so hard to kill. So if you were somebody that lived and you killed one of those dragons, you were considered to be a superhero because nobody else could do it. Thank you for that point. Yes, Jimmy. Behemoth in Job says that his tail is like a cedar tree. It's a very good description of a brontosaurus. Leviathan, I'm not sure what it is, but it sounds like a dragon. By the way, dragon, yes, Allie. Okay, so in the kingdom, I mean, we're going to talk to Noah and Adam and some of these, and we'll talk to them about the meat eaters, and we'll figure out who's right. Because they'll be resurrected at that point. Thank you, Allie. Now, this is the first time. The fear of you and the terror of you will be on every beast of the earth. So what has changed? This is after the flood. What's changed? At this point, something has changed that was not existing prior to this. Huh? Prior to this, the animals were not afraid of man. You with me? Now they're what? Afraid of man, because man's going to eat them. All right? And it says, and every bird of the sky with everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea into your hand, they are given. So he is now given dominion and authority over those animals. Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give all to you as I gave the green plant. Reference back to Genesis. Only you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is the blood. Surely I will require your lifeblood from every beast I will require. So God didn't want them eating their steak rare. Took you a while on that one, didn't it? No blood. No blood. The life is in the blood. Now, this is according to Henry Morris. Who knows who Henry Morris is? Yeah, Henry Morris is dead. But he was the guy that started the Creation Institute for Creation Research. He's a great scientist. And he wrote a book called The Genesis Record. Here's what he says. As far as carnivorous animals are concerned, their desire for meat must also have been a later development, either at the time of the curse or after the flood. So, he says it could be one of two things. Even today, of course, such animals can and will, if they have to, live on a vegetarian diet. And I didn't know that, did you? The scriptures do predict that in the world of the future, after Christ's return and restored the earth in part to its primeval perfection, there will once again no predation or struggle between animals or between animals and man. That'd be a great day, won't it, Tommy? I mean, think about how enjoyable it would be to live on this planet with animals who were peaceful and kind, and you could kind of cuddle with a lion or a tiger. Well, I hope mosquitoes are gone, yeah. Here's a verse we had on, and that's all on the animals. And here's what I leave you with. I might have been right last week, I might have not. But it looks like to me animals were not meat eaters until after the flood. Yes, Perla. Can the animals talk? They do on TV. And they had that jackass that talked to Balaam or whatever. I don't know. The serpent talk. I don't know. That's just interesting, isn't it? Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. Parasites. I don't know. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to diseases in a second. Yes, Tricia. They didn't find it unusual. Trisha's saying she always thought they could talk because she didn't find it unusual. Let me tell you what. This world before the flood was a vastly different place. I'm talking about no storms, no sunburns, no death until the curse, obviously. Jimmy, you had a question. Oh, okay, so it's progressed to the vultures from the crows, yeah. Life will be, I can't remember if we covered this, but we're going to again if I did. Because it's exciting to me to know that when this millennium comes in and Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning, man will live to be longer again. There no longer will be in it an infant who lives but a few days or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100 and the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought cursed. So if you died 100 years old, you're thought to be accursed in this period of time, which, Cheryl, may have something to do with the fact that diseases and parasites and so forth are eradicated in the millennium to allow people to live much longer. And they could be mutations as a result of sin and the curse. Sickness will be removed. And no resident will say, I am sick. Isn't that interesting? Huh? I got several of them that are out today with being sick. Yes, Allie. No. We're going the other way. You'll age. I don't think you've hit 30 yet. A lot of people think that the perfect age is 30. They think that Adam was created at 30. 30 is the age of a priest. We don't know if that's true or not. We just know that God didn't create Adam as a baby and throw him on the ground and say, good luck. He was older when he did. But if you're my age, you go backwards. All right? I can't wait. I just can't wait. I used to play volleyball, football, baseball. I'd die if I did it today. But anyway, no resident will say I'm sick. For I will restore you to health, and I will heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord, because they have called you an outcast, saying it is Zion no one cares for. In other words, for Israel particularly, he's going to heal their wounds. Now, how about this? No deaf, blind, mute, and lame. One of the things that Jesus exhibited when he came to this earth, that he was the Messiah, is he met these prophecies. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. And Isaiah 29 says, it is not yet just a little while before Lebanon will be turned into a fertile field, and the fertile field will be considered as a forest. On that day, the deaf will hear the words of a book. And out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. Isn't that amazing? No deaf, mute, blind, or lame in the kingdom. Jesus Christ will cure them all. There'll be security and protection in the kingdom. Reading down later, it says they will no longer be a prey to the nations, speaking of Israel, and to the beasts of the earth will not devour them. Why? They don't eat meat anymore. All right? And they will live securely, and no one will make them afraid. Wouldn't it be great to live in a world? I remember I went up and did a couple of speeches in a place called Canadian, Texas. Anybody know where that is? Ed does, huh? In Elvin. Canadian is right up at the very top of the panhandle, right up there. And they didn't give me a key to my room. I was staying in a bed and breakfast. I said, you don't need a key. Just leave it unlocked. We don't have any crime here. We had a car stolen about 5 years ago. That's it. It was a very uncomfortable feeling to live where there is actually no threat of crime. I mean, how many of you have locks on your doors and locks on top of the locks and the security systems and live in dread of somebody busting your front door? Amazing, isn't it? Not during this time. Huh? What, Betty? Oh, you don't? Well, good. Where do you live? Which planet is... Huh? Oh, Clear Lake Forest. Well, you're unusual. Freedom from oppression in the millennium. In righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. I guess the horror movies will be done. I don't know about you, as a Christian, I'm having a hard time watching those movies. In fact, I don't. Yeah, the worst part of humanity. Jim? Well, our immune system will be perfect. We won't worry about us. We live forever. That's a wonderful thing. There'll be fruitful labor, prosperity, long life, and joyful birth of children. They will build houses, it says, and inhabit them. They will also plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build and another inhabit. In other words, each person will have their own personal property. The Bible doesn't know anything about communism or socialism. The Bible respects individual property rights strongly. Anybody that preaches that otherwise is not preaching God's plan. They will not plant or another eat, for as the lifetime of a tree, so will be the days of my people. That's a long time. And my chosen ones will wear out the work of her hands. They will not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. It'll be different. For they are offspring of those blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. I suspect that during the millennium, there will be an explosion of population. When Adam was created, Adam was commanded to reproduce and fill the earth. You remember? And what happened was, eventually, is God, because of a satanic plan, God had destroyed the earth in the flood. But, as I've told you when I taught Genesis, the calculation is there may have been 12 to 16 billion people on the planet by the time of the flood, contrary to a lot of thoughts. Zephaniah says there may be a common language. Wouldn't that be interesting? On that day I will purify the lips of all people so that everyone will be able to worship the Lord. How? Together. Isn't that interesting? So he's going to do something to reverse the Tower of Babel. The kingdom will be characterized by truth. That's different. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth. Why? Because the King of truth will be there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then there will be fullness of the Holy Spirit. Somebody asked the other day, what will the Holy Spirit be like during this period of time? And here's what Scripture in Joel, it says, it will come about after that, after the tribulation, that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on the male and the female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Why would he say that? Even on, what would that tell you? Everybody. Great. That's exactly what it says. Even the servants of the Israel will have the Spirit poured out. So the Spirit will be in all kinds of effect. In fact, the Scripture says that we shall know even as we are known. And so forth. Now, don't forget, the millennium is the fulfillment of the new covenant, the Abrahamic, Palestinian, and Davidic covenant on this earth. Israel will be the chief nation on the earth. Amos says also, I will restore the captivity of my people, Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will also plant vineyards and drink their wine and make gardens and eat their fruit. I will also plant them on their land, and they will not again be rooted out from the land which I have given them, says the Lord your God. Israel is back. They'll never leave. A brief time, I guess, in the tribulation when the Antichrist goes after them. But other than that, they're back in the land. And then it says in Zephaniah 3, at that time I'll bring you in, even at the time when I gather you together. Indeed, I will give you the renown and praise among the peoples of all the earth. Will it be different? He says, when I restore your fortune before your eyes. Will it be a different world when the world literally praises Israel? That's what it says. Isaiah 14 says this, when the Lord will have compassion on Jacob and again choose Israel and settle them in their own land, then strangers will join them and attach themselves to the house of Jacob. People will actually want to live with Israel. The peoples will take them along and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them as an inheritance in the land of the Lord as male servants and female servants, and they will take their captors captive and will rule over their oppressors. They will be the number one nation on the planet. And then in Isaiah 49, it says, "Behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and set my standard to the people. They will bring your sons in their bosom, and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders. Kings will be your guardians, and their princesses your nurses." In other words, everybody in the world is going to take care of them. Kings and princesses. "And they will bow down to you with their faces on the earth and lick the dust of your feet. And you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame." Isaiah 60, "The sons of those afflicted, you will come bowing to you, and all those who despise you will bow themselves at the sole of your feet." Isaiah 61, "Strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers, but you will be called the priest of the Lord, and you will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you will boast." In other words, they are going to be super wealthy in Israel. Yes, Roger. Billionaires? Yeah, wow. That's amazing. Yeah. And then the final point. I knew I could finish today. Not the book. Final point is the answer to prayer is fast. How many of you had the experience of praying for something for years? I know some of you. Isaiah 65, "It will come on pass that before they call, before you even pray, God says, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear." In other words, God's response to your prayer will be what? Immediate. So in summary, Revelation 20, verse 6, "They will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. That 1,000 years is going to be a phenomenal period of time. Jesus Christ will be the king of the earth, ruling out of a raised up Jerusalem on the Mount Zion, with water flowing out, fertilizing and watering the entire land, with the 12 tribes of Israel assigned different places, with the disciples ruling over the 12 tribes, with us ruling and reigning over that. And the world is going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord and His law, and He will roar from Zion, and the law will come forth from Zion. The animal kingdom, the economy, the every aspect of life will be vastly different. Yes, Jim. All prejudices, well, I'm sure they will. All prejudices will be gone. It's going to be an amazing time. I hope you got something out of this. Randy? Well, assuming America is still around. Oh, all the continents. Well, we'll go up to worship at Tabernacles. We'll either send representatives or we'll go. We will look at Israel and we will rejoice in Israel and send them all kinds of money. We will anxiously listen for what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say to us about how we should do. There'll be no more wars. We'll have no more health care problems, amazingly enough. We'll have no military. Huh? We still have technology. I still think you'll have your iPhones. You may not need them in a resurrected body. You may be able to mentally communicate. You know, I don't know if you've thought about it, but how is Jesus Christ going to relate to millions of us? Huh? How many of you read the Left Behind series? Anybody? How did he do it there? It was like he was one-on-one with each person. You remember? It was like he was special for each person in that deal. It's got to be almost something like that because the bride of Christ will be huge. I really believe there'll be billions, yeah, but definitely millions of people who will be resurrected and so forth. If you don't know Jesus Christ or you're wondering how do I get to know Jesus Christ, how do I get to heaven, the answer is very, very simple. Jesus Christ said He died for you. And if you trust Him, He'll give you eternal life. Next week, Revelation 20, verse 7. See you.